Agenda item number 8. The Keller lease application.
So we do have an application for Forest Planting Ground in the name of Charles Patrick Keller and Dylan Ray Keller. I believe they're brothers. They are requesting to lease approximately 90 acres of planting ground. That was their original application request within Mud Creek in Middlesex County. The application is protested by a nearby property, highland property. So Mud Creek is a tributary to the Rappahannock. This area, this land mass you see here is called Punch Bowl Point, and that's important. We'll discuss that a little more in a minute. This is the application area as the original application was described within Mud Creek. The protestants do live up Mud Creek, is my understanding. Mud Creek is currently open to direct harvest of shellfish by the Virginia Department of Health. Parrot Creek to the south. Parrot's Creek to the south is closed. Mud Creek is open. Mud Creek at one time was closed up here in this area, but that has broken through, and the access used to only be to the south here. But there is an opening here as well now. On July 27th, we did receive a letter from a nearby property owner, property owners, Joseph and Catherine A. Sershin, with the following concerns. They were concerned that the markers were placed very close to the shoreline where the protestants swim, and in an area they stated was enjoyed and respected by many boaters, and that the leasing of this area could restrict the use of this beach area, of these beach areas. They also noted that the disturbance of the shallow, muddy bottom within the creek could interfere with access to their pier. We do note that their pier is located well upstream of the requested lease area. We did respond to their letter, acknowledged their concerns, and sent them to the applicants. We also informed them, because we had some conversations with them about the stakes, that staking of their lease was a requirement of the Code of Virginia as part of the public interest review, and to please not remove any of the markers while we were in the public interest review period. As I said, we did provide a copy of their letter to the applicants. So then we received a letter from one of the co-applicants, Mr. Patrick Keller, in August, with a second letter included with it from a woman named Lucy Lee Cruz. This was in response to the assertions of objections. Mr. Keller, in his letter, stated that the Punch Bowl Point area is posted with no trespassing signs, and he further noted that he did not understand how oysters on the bottom would interfere or restrict any access to the protestants' property. He explained that he had also enclosed a letter from Lucy Lee Cruz, who was one of the actual property owners of Punch Bowl Point itself, which addressed some of the issues they were having with trespassing activities on their property. He also noted that he did not believe leasing this area would in any way interfere with access to the existing piers in the area, and he stated his belief that any wakes from boats using this area and jet skis already create more turbulence to the bottom and agitate the bottom more than any oyster activity would, and maybe the remedy to this would be creating a no-wake zone, which is beyond the purview of this agency. The second letter that was included with the Keller letter from Ms. Lucy Lee Cruz stated that she is one of the three owners of Punch Bowl Point and that the Highland property is posted with no trespassing signs. She also said that VMRC has actually been called, our law enforcement division, a number of times and has made trips to the area requesting trespassers to leave the property. She further noted that the current owners of the property, while having continual problems with trespassing and poaching, and that she and her family and only two other persons outside of those persons had permission to use this area, that the assertions were not among them. The area was surveyed by a private surveyor, as is happening more often now with our backlog, Bay Design Group, and actually contains 101.49 acres as surveyed. The application was for approximately 90 acres. It does follow closely along the shoreline of Mud Creek, and extend slightly out into the Rappahannock River along the eastern boundary. So these are ground shots I took yesterday. This is looking into Mud Creek, standing on the southern shoreline, looking upstream. So as I go through these photographs, they're going to be panning around to the right as I go. The landmass on the right side of the photograph is that punch bowl point, which is really now an island because of the breach. So you can see the breach area is right in here, but the application does run along the shoreline, goes up Mud Creek and around this bend even further than you can see in this photograph. So this is another photograph taken a different place on the shoreline. I'm further back now, down the shoreline, going away from the creek. Again, this is part of Punch Bowl Point. And we're just panning around. You can't really see them in these photographs, but there are a couple of white stakes over here along the shoreline of the point. And this is where the point kind of tapers off into just a sandbar and comes around. And the survey actually goes from about out here across to this stake right here. Again, that's the end of the point, and that is one of the survey markers of the easternmost part of the application. This is kind of hard to see. I'll have a second one in a minute, but this is a plat that was made by the private surveyor that shows, you know, how it wraps around the shoreline. We'll go to one you can read a little better, and as you can see, there are 77 corners on this application, so there were a lot of stakes set. A lot of them are no longer in, I observed yesterday, but it was staked originally by the private surveyor. And we believe any of the stakes as set would create, the stakes themselves would create a navigation issue because basically they follow the shoreline. And out here, this is where it's really shallow, and this is over near the shoreline. And then these two stakes, where you're going up the creek to the Sershon's property, are again set on either side of the creek itself and will be right up near the shoreline. And it does follow pretty much around the shoreline. So based on that, staff believes leasing this area should not present any navigation issue as currently marked or as marked in the future, provided that the applicant does adhere to the leasing requirements of the Code of Virginia and our regulations concerning the marking of a leased ground and or placement of any aquaculture structures upon the leased area. The protestants apparently have no legal right to use the highland property in the area that's known as Punch Bowl Point that was noted in their complaint, as that property is owned by others. We therefore do recommend leasing the area surveyed and platted, containing 101.49 acres. The applicants did fill out the use plan questionnaire and said they would be using the bottom for traditional purposes. They did check the box that they might actually put cages on it at some point, but again, I would caveat that we do have a regulation related to cages, and should they put cages out in the middle part of Mud Creek where they did create some kind of navigation issue going up the creek, that we would certainly address that issue and might make them move them, or if they'd ask us in advance where they're going to put them so we can work with them. But the regulation does address that specific issue. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Mrs. Cohn.
Has any of this been leased before?
I talked to Dennis Hogg, who's our surveyor in the area. Now, he didn't survey this, but he went with me yesterday, and he indicated he believed that some of this area had been previously leased. Maybe not this far up into Mud Creek, but some portion of it had previously been leased.
Thanks.
Other questions? Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Stagg, so that map there, and I think you testified that's 77 stakes.
Yes.
So I'm hard-pressed to believe that they're not closer than 150 feet. Have you been out to see this area?
When we survey an application originally, we stake it however we have to stake it. And if it's along Milo water, you know, we will stake it where there's breaks in the shoreline. And clearly, often stakes are closer than 150 feet. The way this one is marked, I believe they could work with law enforcement to eliminate a lot of these stakes in the future if they need to keep this marked. Under the current regulation where you have to mark your ground if you're using it. They could certainly mark a subset inside of here if they were going to put cages on it. But, yeah, the original application survey does not really, the 150 feet does not really apply to that. We have to survey the ground, you know, in a way that we feel follows the shoreline if we're doing mean low water.
A follow-up.
Mr. Erskine.
So I'm understanding that when it's being surveyed, you may have stakes closer than 150 feet. But I want to be clear that if it's approved, they cannot be closer than 150 feet.
Again, I would say if he wanted to restake this exactly like you see it, it would be legal. Because he's staking the corners, the actual corners. Line stakes have to be at least 150 feet apart. In other words, say out here, this line. If he wanted to stake this line with more stakes so he could figure out where to stop coming out of the creek so he wouldn't go over the line, well, he would never know with just two stakes. He would probably need at least three so that at any time he could look down the line and see whether he's crossed it or not. But along here, they could not be any closer than 150 feet. But clearly a lot of these are already closer than 150 feet. So he could legally restake this exactly. Nobody lives here. This is a marsh. The closest houses are right down here at the very end. And the Sersons live up here. This is a big marsh area here and a wooded area. But the houses stop right here, and the application basically comes across right there. And this is all Punchbowl Point. It's not inhabited. So I don't know if I'm not answering your question. You want to hear it. But if he were to dredge this and get a dredge permit, law enforcement, by law, it's in the code, it would have to be marked. But again, law enforcement traditionally works with the leaseholder to mark it in a way that law enforcement can enforce it, and it's marked per what they need. It doesn't mean every corner has to be set. They can work with the applicant. Mm-hmm. I doubt you're ever going to see all 77 stakes set on this again, but the Kellers can address that.
I hope not.
Yeah. Again, we didn't survey this one. I'm not sure we'd have set this many corners had we done it. But it kind of defeats the purpose of us going back out there and resurveying it when we're backlogged. If we try to work with the private surveyor, we can't be there every survey he does. He's getting better at it. But
Mr. Seifert.
Was there any discussion? I mean, this is, to me, similar to our Lynn Haven deal here, is that, you know, you're saying this thing runs right along the shore and everything like that. Was there any consideration to moving this parcel away from the shore, 75 feet, 150 feet, especially since you're talking about somebody that says that they use it for a beach?
Certainly
things
entertain
like that.
Whatever the commission wishes. I think the applicant wanted it surveyed this way. My understanding is some of the better part of this ground is really along the shoreline where it's harder. This is called Mud Creek for a reason. The center part of it, I think, pretty muddy. But I think you might want to hear from the applicant. I think they have some ideas of plans of how they want to use this ground. This is not exactly like Virginia Beach because, as I said, there are no houses here. This is not like people are protesting this because there are stakes in front of their property. The Sersons live up the creek, way beyond where this is surveyed, and there are no other residences except right down here at the very southwest end of the application. And these people didn't protest it.
Any other questions from the commission? Is the applicant represented or present? Please come forward. Good morning. When I swear you both in at the same time, do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Please state your names for the record.
Charles Patrick Keller.
Dylan Murray Keller.
Thank you.
Okay. The reason for the stakes being following shoreline is sandier around the shoreline of this creek. As Schimlin said, the middle is mud. And I would like to work with the shoreline because if I go more towards the middle, I'm going to have to be looking more at cages. I want to stay away from cages. I don't want to put anything in the water that's not going to be natural there anyway. As far as if the ground were, there were ever grounds out there in the creek, when I was a child, Mr. Green had grounds in there. And I only know this because I met his daughter, Catherine Green, at Vims years ago, who helped describe the creek to me in detail.
Our main intention here is to repopulate the oyster growth in the area. I mean, we're not trying to restrict any access or anything like that, and so we can stay towards the shoreline. The deepest part of the creek, in reality, is, what, 4 feet? 4 to 5 feet?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a shallow creek.
And there's nothing to stop Mr. Sershon from exiting the creek at any point.
As far as other houses on the creek, as you stated, we have a house here. Mr. Sershon is all the way up in here. I'm right here. That's it. That's it for the houses on the creek. They're just very undeveloped. Everything on the other side of the creek, probably I would be surprised if it's ever developed because of the bayaks, where the marsh is cut up in there. And it's all farmland behind there, so the farmers don't want to do anything with it. Like I said, I'm just, the shoreline, as far as the concern of the stakes being too close to or within 150 foot on the shoreline, it's my understanding that once it's all approved, the stakes can come out, can't they?
Am I correct there?
Yes.
I mean, other than at the two entrances to the creek and the upper end of the creek, that leaves like six stakes that I care about keeping in place just so I know where my boundaries are in those directions. Beyond that, I don't need any stakes. To be honest, I live on the creek. I don't want to look at the stakes myself. They spoil the view.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Zedner.
Would you consider removing your request to put those pots in that application? I mean, you talk about 4 or 5 feet, and that's where you can put the pots. Where are the people going to go with the boats?
Anywhere that I would want to put any cages, if I ever did, would be in closer to the shoreline. I have no desire to put any cages in the middle of the creek. Honestly, the cages are more maintenance than I want to get into. I mean, the oysters that have always grown in there a little bit naturally, I just want to enhance what they are already doing naturally by putting some clutch down for them.
We have no intentions of putting cages in the middle of the creek because, as my father said, they're more maintenance and they're not protected. They're not protected from any storms that we may get. They would be impeding upon other people enjoying going in and out of the creek.
I mean, I may like it, like I said, at some point along the shorelines, particularly from my property, would like to maybe sometime, at some point, put in a cage, but I don't know that I will. I mean, if they're doing great on the shore, there's no reason to cage them. I mean, I'm all for natural growth.
Any other questions? Mr. Erskine.
I don't know that I necessarily have a question. I appreciate that, you know, the stake issue is something that you're taking into consideration based on some of the discussion recently in more heavily populated areas. Certainly, that is an issue, an issue that we're going to have to deal with, clearly. Yeah. So 77 stakes in an area like this does raise a red flag. I mean, it is a concern. I realize there are three homes there, but I'm glad to hear that the applicant is willing to do that. And I would commend you for wanting to move forward to populate oysters. I mean, that's holds with the tradition of why we as a commission would look favorably upon leasing shellfish ground. So I appreciate that and your awareness of the stakes.
Yeah, I was told by an employee of the surveyor that I used, Bay Design, that just follow the shoreline. I mean, make sure I had stakes to cover what I wanted to take in. So that's what I did.
I understand.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Keller. Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Keller.
You.
Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to testify in favor of this application? Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to testify in opposition to this application? Make sure. Is anybody here that wishes to say anything about this application? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Tackert.
I'm certainly glad to hear that they're not going to have 77 PVC poles up and down the cove here. That certainly makes me feel better about this application, so I would move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Tackert, second by Mr. Meyer. Any discussion on the matter? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? No. No by Mr. Frantz. The chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimous. Well, motion passes 7-1. It's 11 o'clock. I should be awake by now. Thank you, Mr. Stagg. Your application is approved, gentlemen. Thank you.